Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the MLPA North Coast Regional Stakeholder Group conference call. My name is Maisha, and I'll be your operator for today's call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a public comment session. I would now like to turn the call over to Dr. Eric Poncelet. Dr. Poncelet, you may begin.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome, RSG members and members of the public, members of the MLPA Blueberry Task Force and staff, to our webinar and conference call for the North Coast Regional Stakeholder Group. Thank you for calling in, and we realize if you haven't participated in one of these webinars in the past, it can be a little intimidating until you get into it, but then you'll find out that it works quite well. So we're going to start now with a roll call, and then after that, we'll review meeting objectives and the agenda. And so Ben Gelman, my colleague from Kearns and West, is going to run us through the roll call. And so he's going to give the names of the RSG members and just respond in the affirmative if you are present.
Okay, I'm going to go alphabetically. Jim Bassler. Okay, Steve Cheney.
Here.
Russ Petrie.
Here.
Greg Hale. Tom Dixon.
Here.
Ben Jones. E. Easter.
Here.
Don Gillespie.
Here.
Benjamin Henderson.
Here.
Becky Hoff.
Here, and I have a lot of background noise.
Me too. This is John Dixon.
Yeah, so for those who aren't currently speaking or you don't anticipate that your name is going to be called in a moment, if you press star 6, it will mute your phone. Somebody must be on a BlackBerry or cell phone of some sort that's probably creating a little bit of echoing.
Thank you. Thank you, Melissa.
And then if I remember correctly, to unmute it, star 6 or pound 6.
Robert Jambogian,
here.
Dave Benson. Tim Klass.
Here.
Larry Knowles.
Here.
Zach Larson.
Here.
Emo.
Here.
Kevin McGrath.
Here.
Kevin McKernan. Aaron Newman.
Here.
Pete Nichols.
Here.
Charlie Nodoff.
I'm here.
Megan Rocha.
Yeah.
Jennifer Savage.
Jennifer is here.
Valerie Stanley.
Here.
Addis Stevenson. Thomas Trumper.
Here.
Adam Wagshaw. Rob Wakefield. Rewitty Wiki.
Here.
Harold Wallenberg.
Yes.
Dave Wright. Richard Young.
Here.
Okay. Members of the Blue Ribbon Task Force. Meg Caldwell.
Here. Sorry, I had to turn my mute off.
Thank you. Greg Shem.
Oh, my.
This is the younger generation.
It was going to be a little late. He's just at the airport.
Do we have Greg Shem on the call?
He's going to be a little late. He was just at the airport. He'll be joining in a few minutes.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, I'm now going to go through iTeam staff. And after that, if there are others on the call, just let me know. City Army.
Here.
Sashcraft. R.C. Connor. Matt Harris. Kevin Fleming. Evan Fox.
Hey, I'm here.
Melissa Miller Henson.
Here.
Dominique Money.
Here.
Becky Oda. Kelly.
Here.
Craig Spolgard. Jason Vasquez. Stephen.
Steve Wirtz is on.
Ben Wiseman?
Here.
Okay.
Okay, great. Thank you, Ben.
Are there any names I missed from iTeam staff?
Mike Prawl from DFT.
Mike.
Did we miss anyone from the regional stakeholder group?
Eric and Ben, I know we have Adam Wagshaw on the GoToWebinar, so I'm wondering if he is in, if we can ask the operator to check and see if he's in the public, on the public line.
All lines are open at this time. Who are you looking for again?
Adam Wagshaw. Last time, W-A-G-S-C-H-A-L.
One moment, still checking. Adam, your line is now open. Adam Wagshaw, your line is now open.
Thank you.
Okay, Adam, welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, I think we have everyone, and if someone else joins later and when you want to make a comment, just introduce yourself at that point. We're going to move on now to the meeting objectives and flow, and want to just remind everybody that the impetus for this webinar came from our first RSG meeting on February 8th and 9th in Eureka, and there was a request made by some of the tribal and tribal community members at the meeting and seconded by others that we take some time to come up with a recommendation that the RSG could make to the Blue Ribbon Task Force on the topic of tribal uses. And so our key objectives for this call are to, again, just make sure everybody understands what we're doing. So it's confirming the intent of this meeting, and then we will actually introduce some language that has been produced by the RSG tribal and tribal community representatives, and we will have some time to discuss that on the call. We'll also take some time to discuss the staff memo that went out to the regional stakeholder group that provides a summary of anticipated legal guidance that will come from the Department of Fish and Game and Fish and Game Commission staff, and that will be presented at the Blue Ribbon Task Force meeting on Monday. And then there is a draft recommendation that has been put forth that we can discuss and tee up for a vote if folks decide we want to do that. And then we would outline the steps for doing the voting. And the voting would take place offline after this call and would take place by email, and we'll describe exactly how that will happen. So in terms of what we're doing here, so we are here in this call and webinar to provide an RSG recommendation to the BRTF. This is an opportunity that the RSG has to inform BRTF deliberations on the topic of tribal uses, and we've scheduled this call when we did, and it's been a pretty quick process because we wanted to have this call in advance of the March 1st BRTF meeting. Just to be clear, there are certain things that we're not doing on this call, and this has to do with the authority of the regional stakeholder group. The RSG does not have the authority to establish policy for the state of California, so we are not creating that in this call. Moreover, the BRTF doesn't have the authority to establish policy for the state of California either, but the BRTF can make recommendations to the state and primarily to the Fish and Game Commission. So the RSG has an opportunity to influence those recommendations coming from the BRTF. And as we know, the BRTF will be addressing the issue of tribal uses at their Monday meeting. So in terms of the agenda flow, we're in the middle now of the confirm intent and meeting and describe the webinar logistics, and then we have an hour set aside for the meat of this call, and I'll describe that in just a second. And we're trying to do a lot in that, and so we'll really need to be efficient in our discussions. And then we're hoping to take public comment at 5:25, and the public will have the opportunity to weigh in either on the staff memo that has gone out on the topic of tribal uses, or secondly, they could weigh in on the recommendation that might be put forward by the RSG. And then we'll finish up with, we have 25 minutes for that, and then we'll finish up with 10 minutes of explaining next steps. So I wanted to go into some detail on what our discussion will look like. And in particular, the way that and I want to just take a moment to thank the tribal and tribal community members of the regional stakeholder group who met on Monday and then who have been coordinating again today to produce some text that we could be discussing on this call. And based on the work that they've accomplished, we're proposing outlining this discussion in three steps. First, we'll ask for a quick report back on the discussions by the tribal representatives, and I think Ruedi Wiki will be on point for just giving a summary of what was done. Then we want to move into maybe a 25-minute or so discussion of the staff memo on tribal uses, and then use the last half hour to address the proposed recommendation. And we need to do that. There are three sub-steps under that step, and there we'll ask Ruedi again on behalf of the other tribal and tribal community members to describe their proposed recommendation. Take then 5 minutes or so to make sure that everybody understands the intent of the text, the meaning of the text, and then we have some time left, 25 minutes or so to discuss the proposed recommendation, and this gives the opportunity for RSG members to weigh in on their thoughts on that recommendation. At that point, we'll then move on to public comment. So are there any questions about the flow of this webinar? Okay, great. I wanted to get to a couple of more logistics. First, with regard to ground rules, the ground rules that the RSG adopted at its first meeting do apply for this call. And I just wanted to highlight a couple of them that will make it be, I think, more effective. We definitely want to have one person speaking at a time, and Ben and I will be helping to create to manage a queue, and we'll get into that in a second. Secondly, we ask for folks to be concise, to perhaps not repeat ideas that have already been said, of course, to be respectful, and overall just to help everybody keep the meeting on track. We do have a lot to cover. We will be in batches asking RSG members who wants to make a comment. We'll take your names down. We'll go through that list, and then we'll open it up again to the next group of folks who want to enter the queue and make a comment. And so that's how we'll proceed in terms of managing a large number of participants in the call. The public comment will take place during the public comment period, and we do have some guidance for that. That's in the PowerPoint here. The public will be invited to provide comments on the agenda items, again, 25 minutes. We will take a count with the help of our conference operator before starting the public comment to see how many people from the public want to make a comment, and depending on how many there are, we'll allot the amount of time that everybody will have, and we'll do our best to make sure everybody has time to make their comments. And then finally, if there are a number of members of the public who have a shared message and are able to coordinate ahead of time, it'd be great to be able to do that. And if you're a member of the public and speaking for several people, just let us know at the beginning of your comment.
Eric?
Yeah.
It seems like I think Jackie Hostler has a question.
Yes, Jackie. Jackie?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay. I would describe a language. I'm not sure which document we are referring to that we're going to review tribal language. I have the talking points that Ruedi is going to go over.
Yes. Are you able to see? Are you at a computer right now, Jackie?
I am.
Okay. So what we will be talking soon is I think the next slide actually shows the points. The recommendation that Ruedi had put together, and I probably should have had another slide in here that actually allows us to talk first about the staff memo that went out at the end of last week. So I think the idea is we'll spend a little bit of time talking about that memo in general, and then see if there's any and then move on to the specific recommendation text that Ruedi put together. Is that addressing your question?
I was wondering if there was a separate document for tribal language other than the talking points Ruedi had.
No, there's no other separate document. The only other document we'll be referring to will be the staff memo that went out on Friday. Okay, great. So Ben is going to put the text of the recommendation up there, but we want to, before we talk about that in detail, actually ask Wendy just to give a quick overview of some of the discussions that took place over the past week among NCRSG tribal and tribal community members, and then we'll use that as a starting point to talk a bit more about the staff memo itself. Ruwetti, please jump in.
Okay, can everybody hear me?
Hi,
this is Ruwetti. So just quickly, as you all know, following on from our main meeting, there was a lot of discussion among tribes about how we should frame the question of recognizing tribal rights within the MLPA framework. And that culminated in a lot of email exchanges, and then a conference call on Monday with the tribal representatives to the stakeholder group, really to discuss what type of language we would propose. And I think what happened at that conference call is the Friday prior we had received the MLPA initiative summary of the anticipated Department of Fish and Game guidance to the Blue Ribbon Task Force. And really the meat of our discussion revolved around how we felt about that guidance and how we would move forward in light of that guidance. And so really, to sum up, and feel free to backfill or jump in if I'm mistaken, any of the other tribal representatives, but I think really the tribal representatives were disappointed at the guidance, although maybe not exactly surprised by the position that Fish and Game was coming out with. And really when it came down to it, we thought, well, the purpose of today's conversation was to look at a specific recommendation about language and how to exclude tribal rights, so on and so forth, from the MLPA process. But I think it became apparent that that might be an unwieldy process on a conference call. And not only that, but we felt in light of the guidance memo that any language we did approve, we would have to go back and have vetted in some way, shape, or form by our constituents or by our various tribal councils or governing bodies. So really when it came down to it, I think we left that conversation with a feeling that we would be unable to act in any way that was substantive today if we just left it at let's develop some language. So the thinking evolved into, well, I think we could probably propose a discussion on that guidance if anybody wants to, you know, really know the meat of it on today's call. And then thinking about this in a broad way, what the stakeholder group can think about is, you know, recommending that the Blue Ribbon Task take some action in some way. And so what we were advocating was, rather than specific language, that perhaps stakeholder group can just agree in principle on a very, very broad level that tribal concerns should be addressed in some way. A couple of, I think at least Rush has provided some language on a potential statement that the Blue Ribbon Task Force could consider. I'm sure other tribes will probably come up with other language that they can propose to put forward. So the stakeholder group could Blue Ribbon Task Force take action in some way, shape, or form along the lines of a policy statement that addresses tribal concerns, namely excluding tribal activities from marine protected areas, so on and so forth, and also advocating that perhaps this is such a level policy issue that's so complex that the Blue Ribbon Task Force could consider establishing a separate forum with tribal representatives and policymakers from Natural Resources Agency, Fish and Game Commission, to really address the crux of this matter. And I think a lot of it was, this is so complex that if we try and hash it out in this forum, it's going to take us a long time and potentially stall us. But what we can say as a stakeholder group potentially is that we need this addressed in some way, shape, or form.
Okay, great. Thank you, Woody, for that summary, and I think you did a nice job of summarizing the overall recommendation that came out of your deliberations as well. Are there other members of the RSG tribal and tribal community representatives who would like to add to Rawidi's summary of your work?
I would. Can you hear me?
Yes.
This is Benjamin Henthorn from Hopland.
Yes, go ahead, Ben.
I'm going to take you off speaker. Hang on real quick. I think, can you hear me now?
Yes.
I think what Ruedi has done is good, a lot of good work. I think tribes need to collaborate a little bit more to make a general, policy, or not policy, but a usage statement that addresses all three counties that are going to be impacted by the MLPA. But I think Ruedi did a great job, and we definitely will be speaking with the Blue Ribbon Task Force. That's about it.
Thanks, Ben. Are comments recapping the discussions by the tribal community reps earlier this week?
I would like to make a comment. This is Russ.
Go ahead, Russ.
Okay. You know, I appreciate it. I didn't get the opportunity to participate in Monday's telephone call because I'm in D.C. right now. But, you know, I can agree with what the tribal RFG members have come forward with, that we need more time. We need to deliberate on this. We need to take it back to our tribal members. We need to take it to our tribal council for approval. And we need to cut, it's going to take, you know, an extensive amount of time to draft out a position that, you know, has some validity and it's a review process that are established by tribes before we make a decision of that magnitude. So in a general sense, making the statement on Monday to the Blue Ribbon Task Force that this issue needs to be addressed, this is a question, it's been out there for a long time, you know, I wholeheartedly agree with. And I appreciate the tribal reps and the RFG and the work that they did on Monday.
Thanks, Russ.
You're welcome.
Any other comments from the tribal reps on your work this week?
I, this is Ben again. I think it's moving awful fast. We were just at the stakeholder meeting on the 8th and 9th, and here we are on the 22nd having this phone call. And a lot of the tribes were just, you know, it's going really fast to get back. I got 10 tribes I have to, you know, kind of get to, and then I have two communities that are non-recognized, but that need to be included on all this. So, like Russ said, it is moving awful fast, but I think we can, as one, we can do this. But, I mean, just please be mindful that there's a lot of people that need to be informed about what's going on. So, and the phone call was good, and it was nice to see what the legal counsel had to say for the fishing game.
Great. Okay, any final comments from the tribal reps on your work?
I guess I would like to make a comment. This is Megan. I would just like to echo Ruedi's comment about, you know, we got that memo on Friday, and it kind of, I guess it just wasn't, it wasn't surprising, but it was also disappointing, as he said. And so I think at that point, me personally, I was just kind of like, well, given this guidance from Fish and Game, I'm not really sure, you know, regardless of whatever language is crafted, put forward by the stakeholder group, really what kind of weight that will really carry through with this process. So what I'm really interested in this particular meeting is really understanding when the regional stakeholder group does make some sort of recommendation, how that does flow through the process, and the type of recommendations that RSG can make, for one. And then also, I would be really interested to hear what the other stakeholders think about the memo in regards to just moving forward, and also have a chance for the tribal reps to voice the concerns of the approach. So there was a good intent in trying to draft some language. I think that memo just sort of took some of the wind out of our sails, so to speak. So.
Thanks, Megan, for that comment. So I'm going to maybe invite Melissa or Ken to speak a little bit more as to what happens with recommendations that come from the RSG that go to the Blue Ribbon Task Force. And then I'd like to open up the discussion more broadly to the entire RSG who wants to weigh in and provide their thoughts on the staff memo that came out last Friday. So Ken and Melissa, can you speak a little bit more to how it works with RSG recommendations?
But I think you put out a good process memo, Eric and Ben, as far as how that goes back and forth. And, of course, as we've always said, ours is an iterative process. And the reason we had wanted to get the memo out was to to give direction as the first start that the BRTF will do on Monday in starting to give direction to stakeholders, and then as we improve on that and try to sort it out, better define it, and keep the process informed as we move forward. But the stakeholder group obviously may have questions of the BRTF. Many of you will be there Monday. The idea of obviously sharing just your talking points is going to be helpful. And we have two of the BRTF members on the call. But the idea is to share as much information, keep the process moving forward. This memo would do just that. Start to focus our direction to start to help the BRTF give you some policy guidance. We've had some communication since then with the Berkeley law firm that represents many of the tribes and making some suggestions, talking about things such as the endangered species and the way that's handled, and that may be an appropriate approach to look in our process. All those kind of things are how the process is supposed to work so we can get them on the table and move forward. So, Mel, I'd ask if you would want to add anything, please.
No, I thought that was great.
So just to recap a bit, that the outcomes of this call, and Ben and I are taking notes on some of the comments made, and we'll summarize some of the key themes that we hear, as well as any recommendation and a vote, a formal vote from the RSG on a recommendation, would be reported to the Blue Ribbon Task Force at their meeting on Monday, likely in the afternoon. And we'll go, at the end of this call, we'll describe exactly how the voting will take place. And so I think that, Megan, is big picture, the timing of it. During their meeting on Monday, the Blue Ribbon Task Force will be addressing the staff memo that came out, and I believe that senior Department of Fish and Game staff, including Sankey Mashup, will be in attendance at the meeting. And the Blue Ribbon Task Force has the, I think, intention to provide at the end of that meeting or shortly thereafter some guidance to the regional stakeholder group for how to proceed. And I think they share the general interest and concern of RSG members with regard to the importance of getting clear guidance in a timely fashion.
Can I ask a question? This is Megan again about that. So Fish and Game will be presenting the legal guidance, or the initiative staff will be?
It will be Sankey Mashup, who is the lead, who is the deputy director of Fish and Game, and who has been coordinating with the Attorney General's office. So mm-hmm. Sankey will be the prime person. Also, the deputy executive director of the Fish and Game Commission will be there, Adriana.
Okay, and so that will be a conversation strictly then between the task force and Fish and Game at that point. And then will the tribal representatives need to provide input at public comment time, or will they be allowed to enter into the dialogue at that earlier point?
At any time we have an action item, there's an action to be taken, then there's the opportunity for the public and stakeholders or whoever to comment. So,
okay.
That would be, and it may be best informed at public comment as well. I'm sure they'd be on it, but there, and obviously anything in written form or communicated from this meeting is helpful as well.
Okay,
great. So this is Eric again, and I just want to thank Ken, just who reminded me that the RSG did request at our meeting earlier this month that we articulate more clearly the process or procedure for developing an RSG recommendation to the task force. And so we've put that down on paper and sent that to you as part of our meeting materials for this meeting, and hope that is useful for everyone. Now I want to turn our attention to the staff memo that had been created and sent out, I think, on Friday. It is an attempt to summarize anticipated legal guidance to the Blue Ribbon Task Force that will be coming from the Department of Fish and Game staff and Fish and Game Commission staff. And so I just want to use some time now on our call to invite RSG members to maybe give some initial reflections on that. We've heard a little bit from Rowitty and Megan and others that there was a little bit of disappointment, and although maybe not a lot of surprise in what came out in that memo. And so I want to maybe do a quick cue right now of people who would like to weigh in, and just want to acknowledge that we have maybe 20 minutes or so for this and ask people to be concise and to the point in their comments. So if, just call out your name if you'd like to be in the queue right now.
Skip. Lowenberg.
Yeah. Larry Noel.
I'm sorry, Skip. And who else?
Larry Noel.
Larry. Skip, Larry, and anyone else? Okay, we'll start with Skip and Larry. Go ahead, Skip.
Yeah, well, the fact that this is anticipated legal guidance means that it's not the be-all, end-all of legal guidance, and so that it makes it a moving target to me to try to decide on this basis. I also recall from the stakeholders meeting that it was generally agreed that the tribal groups were going to develop tribal profiles that would be submitted on or before April 1st to supplement the regional profile. And that seems to me like a time frame that could accommodate what Ray was asking about insofar as getting the recommendations, their recommendations back to the tribal groups and getting feedback from them. So perhaps that could be, those could be molded into the, or as part of the regional profiles, because they actually, I expect, would describe traditional processes and also locations that might be of primary concern. So I'm just suggesting that that April 1st submittal date could encompass this type of information.
So that the information that is coming in by that April 1st date is also brought into these ongoing deliberations and guidance.
Correct.
Okay. Good. Thanks for that. Larry.
Yeah, thank you. And good to be here, everyone. Appreciate that we're having this forum. I was also disappointed by the this document. Because it looks like it's going into a lot of legal issues, which, as far as I understand, are pretty moot, that aren't workable within the process. And I'm wondering if there has been any thought to some kind of situation where the SAT could recognize general uses, general traditional cultural spiritual uses of the tribes that fit in with very broad guidelines that could be that would allow the MLPA process to basically fold in the tribes to the MLPA process without having the SAT have to acknowledge significant impacts. Has anyone given that any thought? Like Mike Prawl, have you thought about that? I know, Ken, do you know anything about that?
So the question is it possible to have the SAT consider different tribal uses and then make some sort of statement about the level of impact associated with them?
Well, yes and no. And I'm interested in what some of the tribal leaders have to say about this, too, of course. It would be making general statements about those uses, but knowing that there would be a lot of gray area within the cultures and especially within cultural oral traditions, there might be areas that really can't be defined, especially geographic areas that can't be defined. And so if the overall impacts could be defined and kind of quantified by the SAT with some just guidelines from the tribes as to their just rough ideas of, say, resource taken, you know, the quantity, or the really what I would say is the minimal impact of the amount of resource it's taken that wouldn't be in commercial, for instance, but would be really associated with traditional uses. Could there be something achieved in that way to circumvent this wieldy process with the state? And does that make sense to anyone, or am I kind of way off in left field?
That makes a lot of sense. And there is an SAT tribal group that has been addressing these issues. Who from staff is the best person to provide an update on what has been going on in that area?
You know, Sati Arame would probably be the best. I'm not sure she's on the phone. I wonder if maybe Dominique Monnier might be able to speak to that.
Evan, this is Sati. Oh. I'm on the line, but I would like to have the question reiterated since I did not hear it.
Thanks. Sati, I think basically Larry's looking for how we can have the SAT comment without an overly cumbersome process and respecting that traditional practices, as we've talked about in the SAT team, may want to be kept general as to how much take and what the impact is and how that can be assessed. And I'll let you talk about where your group is. But, Larry, I think that's kind of why the way we tried to put it in the memo was the process that it appeared that the department felt and the commission was the easiest way to do that was to talk about a conservation area that respected traditional practices, called those out as best as possible, what they occurred and when they happened, and then use that to protect them accordingly. And that would be what the SAT then could comment on, and that would be the fastest and generalist way. That's why we were kind of intrigued with what some of the tribal attorneys had talked about with the Endangered Species Act, where there was a similar approach to make sure the fact was respected, but it was also called out. So that's kind of, and Sati, you may talk about where the sub work group is going.
Okay, thank you. And actually, I have one follow-up question. Is the SAT considering that this would compromise the level of protection of a given MPA, or would they consider this no impact?
Yes, thank you. This is Sati, and I'm working with the Science Advisory Team Tribal Work Group, and the work group is very interested in working with the tribal representatives and members of tribal communities to learn more about the interests and activities that are going on, and Science Advisory Team moves forward in data and
to
conduct their evaluations and analyses. And so they have been communicating with representatives from the tribe to learn more about the activities and to share information and think about what kinds of evaluations are possible. They're still in the process of doing that, so nothing has been formally recommended to the Science Advisory Team at this point, but they will be continuing to work on that with upcoming meetings. Regarding the question about levels of protection, because we're in such a preliminary stage of considering how tribal uses fit into the science evaluation, we have not moved forward in that direction. Instead, we've been thinking about what kinds of data we may have available. The level of protection process is fairly detailed and science-based, and it really relies on knowing something about the species taken and methodology used, and that's been applied to the commercial and recreational fishing activities to date.
Eric?
Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead, Mel.
Just quickly, I want to identify two things. One, for our regional stakeholder group members who are on the call, we do have someone who's been talking in the background. If you could please make sure to mute your phone if you're not speaking, you can do so. If you don't have a mute button on your phone, you can do so by pressing *6 because it makes it difficult to hear the speakers. We also, folks are asking if before people speak, if they could please reiterate their name so it's clear who's speaking. And then also, operator, we have one of our RSG members, Jackie Hostler, who, again, is not able to speak, and she should be able to. Last name is Hostler. If you could please make sure that her line is opened up so that she can speak at all times.
Okay. Thank you, Melissa, for the logistical help here. I hope, Larry, that provides some good response to your question. Are there other RSG members who would like to weigh in on the staff memo?
Yes. This is Russ Crabtree.
Okay, Russ. Who else?
Ben Hemthorne.
Ben, okay. We've got 10 more minutes here.
Did we want to get Jackie in? It sounded like she was trying to get in. We need to get her line opened up.
Yeah, once her line's open, she has a question as well. She wanted to add something.
Super. I'll put Jackie in the queue as well. Anyone else? Okay, let's start with Russ.
Okay, I'm just going to make some general comments. Just for the benefit of the RFG members, I met with Sonke. This staff memo is no surprise to me, even though it is disappointing from a standpoint. I think there's a lot of work here that needs to take place before we can, you know, come forward with any type of tribal position. With that said, I think that, you know, we need to look at short-term goals to mitigate the impact to tribal activities, and we need to look at the long-term goals, but I don't think that that can be addressed through our process.
Do you want to say more about the short-term goals and the long-term goals that you're talking about there, Russ?
Well, we have to come together as a tribal coalition. We have to understand what the language is that, you know, that we need time to do this, and we honestly do. We can't be prepared by March 1st. We need to come together as a tribal coalition. We also need to come together with the RSG members, come together, draft the language out, as I spoke earlier, take it through the legal review process, get approval from our tribal council and tribal members, and then move it forward to the through the MLPA process. And I just think, even with this guidance, even though I'm disappointed that it came out this way, I expected it to be this way, because this is a conversation I have with Sonke along these same lines.
Okay. Thanks, Russ. Ben Hemthorne?
Is Jackie on yet? I'll give her a chance to speak if she's on.
Jackie, have you joined us? Well, you've been with us, but can you speak and be heard?
And did the operator hear our request?
Is Maisha, are you still on the line?
Yes, I'm here. Jackie's line is, she's not with the conference. I believe her line did disconnect. If she's dialed in, her line is open. She is able to speak when she dials in.
Okay, thank you very much. So it seems like we may have lost her, and hopefully she'll dial back in soon. So Ben, why don't you go in the meantime?
So I did bring this to our environmental department tribal meeting we had yesterday, and everyone was disappointed a little bit, you know, but there is reference to ancestral gathering in this legal guidance memo. So the Department of Fish and Game kind of acknowledges that we did do that, and we do that today, and we will continue to do that. Traditional, ancestral, tradition, dance regalia, we use for it. But, I was just kind of disappointed about some of this, and I hope that we, like Russ was saying, and Woody was saying, that we do need a little bit more time to draft. If we're going to add the usage and stuff, we need a little more time, again, to be thorough and not miss anything when we draft the language to insert. That's it.
Thanks, Ben. Is Jackie back yet? Okay, are there other RSG members who would like to enter the queue?
Jackie's getting her phone unmuted now.
Yes, this is Don. I'd like to say something.
Okay, Don. Anyone else besides Don? Okay, do we have Jackie? Okay, I think we almost have Jackie. Don, why don't you go ahead then?
Okay, I'm just thinking of, you know, we spent about 3 hours in Eureka on the 8th and 9th going over this issue, and it seems pretty obvious, as Russ is saying, and that, you know, it's going to take quite a while for the tribes to really agree on final wording of the document. But it seems it'd be important. We all said that the MLPA process could not really progress until we had an understanding of how the MLPA process is going to handle the cultural activities of the tribes. So it seems like for today's purposes, it'd be good to at least maybe vote and agree on the intent of this document, even though not necessarily the final wording. So when we go to begin creating our MLPAs, we have something to, you know, an understanding to move forward with.
That's
basically it. I'm just sort of questioning the time we're spending today if there's not a consensus of what this document is going to say, and it's not, we're not going to have that specific document for quite a while, it appears, but we do need to move forward with the stakeholders need to move forward with the actual design of the MLPA. So I don't know. It seems like we need to move forward with just the intent of this document.
I think that's the direction we're moving, Don, in the sense that very shortly now we'll be discussing some proposed text that Rawidi described earlier that provides, I think, some just a clear message from the RSG about the need to address this issue and to incorporate tribal interests in an appropriate way and to have that take place in a timely fashion. I also believe that it's the intent of Blue Ribbon Task Force to provide some specific guidance coming out of their meeting on Monday to the regional stakeholder group so that you guys are, in fact, able to move forward and do your work and accomplish your chart. And so I know that they will be discussing the memo and other information as well, and we're all hoping that we will get some good guidance out of that meeting. Jackie, have you joined us?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good. Yay.
Welcome. Okay. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's been really hard.
Yeah, apologies. So you have the floor, Jackie.
Okay. I believe that, speaking for Trinidad Rancheria, we again echo everyone else's feelings. We are very disappointed with the guidance memo that came from California Department of Fish and Game. We expected it, but we were hopeful previously. What I would really like to see the stakeholder group do today is have that unanimous support, asking the Blue Ribbon Task Force and the Science Advisory Team to make a recommendation that the master plan, the guidelines are revised to include and honor and respect the tribal traditional gathering. I, too, agree that it's a larger issue and it's a legal issue, and I think that we are not going to be able to move forward as group unless we address this. How do we begin doing those mapping arrays if we cannot get past this? I think that unanimous from the stakeholder group to the Blue Ribbon Task Force on Monday is so important.
Thanks, Jackie. And that's actually a very good segue to where I would like to take our discussion next, which is to move on to the proposed text that Rawidi had provided. Are there any final comments on the staff memo before we do that?
I have one comment. This is Megan. And it's not so much on the memo, but just more how it's going to be used on Monday. So if we have Fish and Game presenting basically their side of the story, and we have the stakeholder group saying, you know, this needs to be addressed. You know, earlier Eric, you said that from that, the task force is going to make a recommendation back. And I'm just concerned that they're not going to have, I don't know who I'm listening to in the background.
If someone has background noise and you're not muted, please mute now. Thank you. Go ahead, Megan.
So I guess I'm just somewhat concerned that the task force is only really going to get strong guidance from Fish and Game. Does that make sense, what I'm saying, on Monday?
Yes, and is that something that other staff members can respond to in terms of giving an idea of how this discussion within the Blue Ribbon Task Force is due to take place?
And this is Ken Wiseman, and how we serve this up is as we've done it in other areas when we have issues that present challenges like this, that we try to give guidance, we get started. We don't do perfect. We know we're going to have to adjust. That's why we didn't want to wait for something formal from the Fish and Game with the Attorney General. We wanted to see where the thinking was, to discuss it, to make sure that the discussion was informed. But as we start putting the maps together, as the community arrays show, there's areas where we have to start getting some direction as to how we would proceed, knowing that throughout the process we can change, adjust, add, delete, all things we've done in past study regions in these kind of issues. So it's a matter of getting started, giving initial guidance, but it will evolve over time, and with the input, obviously the tribal community wants more time to come up with a unified approach, which we would hope would happen during our process, but as Russ and others said, there's a short term and a long term. We're done with our process in October. What we can accomplish between now and then remains to be seen. What may need to be, as Jackie alluded to, put into the master plan and really locked in, I think a lot of that we can start working on now, and I know Saki has been up this week meeting with the tribes talking about that very issue. So there is the short term, the long term, but for our process of moving forward, coming up with maps that can present it to the commission, this is just a start for guidance, and then we'll continue to be informed as we go through.
And Megan, this is Eric. And so I think that Ken mentioned earlier that there will be opportunities for members of the public, including tribal and tribal community members, to provide input at that point. And so I would just like to encourage all of the members of the RSG to, if possible, to attend the BRTF meeting. And obviously we'll be reporting back from the outcomes of this call, and that will have so that will be input into their discussion. But I think it's also very important for them to hear, the voices of individual RSG members or of California tribe and tribal members as well. So encourage everyone to participate.
Okay, thank you for that.
Okay. Eric, this is Pete Nichols. I just have one last question, maybe.
Hey, go ahead, Pete, and then we're going to move on to the discussion of the recommendation.
Considering that this is, such an important issue for the tribes and tribal communities, is there any reason why that there's not going to be a direct dialogue between at least the representatives on the RSG and the BRTF at the beginning of the meeting on Monday? I really think, given giving 3 minutes of public comment will not really allow them to convey the significance of their concerns. And I don't know if the BRTF has really heard that from them. I think it'd be very worthwhile, and it may be well worth the time.
Pete, this is Ken Wiseman. I think that was one of the principal reasons we asked the coalition to give us a panel presentation at the last BRTF meeting, so those concerns could be brought forward. I think we spent a couple hours there, and then another hour or so more in public comment, getting that feedback. And so that was the goal, was to carve that time out early on, and that has informed this process and a lot of the things the department's doing, and certainly the discussions the BRTF members are doing.
Just from my observation, it was because of the weather. It was fairly poorly attended by the Blue Ribbon Task Force, and I'm just not sure if they understand the magnitude of this. I think it would be, respectful to give them a little time.
That's why we webcast, and I've had three of them who didn't make it say they've watched the webcast, so I know that was important to them to make sure that they understood it. And it's not, there's not a final decision being made on Monday. It's guidance to start the process moving forward, and we'll continue to have that input and feedback through all of our different processes.
Hey, Eric, this is Robert. I'd like to say something real quick here.
Okay. Go ahead, Robert, and I would really like to, because I don't want to shortchange our ability to talk about this important recommendation, so I'd like to cut it off.
It just segues into that. I think all of the NCRSG members recognize that the tribes are inadequately dealt with in this MLPA framework, in that we need to let the BRTF know as a group, a unanimous group, and maybe this is something that we can talk about and vote on here today, that we need to have clear guidance without ambiguity when we meet next time on how we're going to deal with this issue, because otherwise we're just wasting our time, and I don't want to be dealing with this whole process and be getting bits and pieces of feedback throughout this entire process, because I think it's just going to waste everybody's time here.
Okay, I'm going to take your offer up, Robert, and use this as a segue to talk about the proposed recommendation that has been produced by the tribal members, and Ben's going to advance the slide. We have it here, and I hope that folks are able to read that on their screens. I wanted to get them all on one page or one slide so everyone could see them. But Rawidi, could I ask you to maybe review or read these again, especially if someone is just listening in, this way they could hear them, and then we'll discuss them.
Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Yes, although, you know what, I don't actually have them directly in front of me. Let me pull them up really quickly.
I don't see anything on our screen either.
Hey, Eric, you might have to push show my screen. Do you have that on?
How about now?
Oh, there we go.
Thank you.
Apologies for that.
That's right. So, and this is just thinking out loud this morning based on the conversations that we've had and exactly dealing with this in a way, particularly some of the past comments about how we can move forward and put this issue in a place where it can be dealt with properly and allow the stakeholder group to continue designing arrays and so on and so forth. So the first step was, I think we all agree that the stakeholder group recognizes that tribes are inadequately dealt with in the MLPA framework. Two, that the stakeholder group requires clear policy guidance on how to address this issue, and that without such guidance, the stakeholder group is unable to properly discharge its function and runs the risk of developing proposals that are less than robust. And I think that's true for any policy clarification that we require from the Blue Ribbon Task Force. And that, again, I think we've agreed to that broadly, that the stakeholder group suggests that customary subsistence and traditional cultural practices should be recognized as distinct within the MLPA framework and possibly excluded. And we suggested that Russ's proposed language is a good basis for that guidance to develop from. It doesn't necessarily have to be agreed to, but it gives us something to work with. And probably most importantly, the stakeholder group suggests establishing a separate tribal advisory group to the Blue Ribbon Task Force, consisting of task force members, policy officials from DFG, Natural Resources Agency, and tribes, at a minimum, the stakeholder group representatives, for the purposes of developing appropriate policy guidance to the group and to the California Fish and Game Commission. And I think really the intent of that group tribes will have to come together through our various coalitions to develop what it is that we want in terms of a policy statement, and this group could be the liaison between the Blue Ribbon Task Force and whatever mechanisms the tribes put in place to develop the language. And I think our thinking behind that was it allows us to put those questions that we need answered in its proper policy context and in a forum where that could be substantively addressed, and still allows the stakeholder group to make a recommendation, strongly encourage the Blue Ribbon Task Force to do something about it, and continue our work as a stakeholder group.
Okay, great. I want to, again, thank Rawidi and other members of the tribe and tribal community representatives on the RSG for putting this idea down on paper. And so what we'd like to do now is to ask RSG members if they have any clarifying questions, and what especially if we move forward and have a vote on this, we want to make sure that everybody understands what is meant here. So rather than commenting on whether you like it or not, are there questions that help improve people's understandings of what it means?
This is John Dixon. I have a question. It says, and Russ's proposed language is a good basis for that guidance. And could we have that language?
I believe that Russ sent that out to the entire RSG on Saturday. And so you should have received that, I think it was Saturday morning. And we can send that out again, John.
Okay, I'm actually now I'm stuck on this page. I'll try and find it.
Yes, I believe, Russ, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was Saturday morning?
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm.
Is it too long to just read?
It was most of the page.
I can read it if you'd like me to.
Would it be helpful for folks to hear that?
It would for me.
Yes.
Okay, well, why don't you go ahead, Russ?
You probably have a different copy than I'm looking at. I'm looking at a hard copy right now because I'm sitting in D.C. and I don't have my computer in front of me. So where it says tribal, it should say tribes and tribal communities. But so I'm going to go ahead and start. It says tribal indigenous people have inhabited the Pacific Northwest since time immemorial and continue to rely on the coast and the ocean for a variety of customary uses, including but not limited to subsistence harvesting and gathering of marine life and spiritual, ceremonial, and other traditional cultural activities. These uses and activities are undertaken pursuant to Aboriginal rights and under federal law, which the state of California is obligated to respect and protect. As an intricate part of the ecosystem, indigenous people have been and continue to be responsible stewards of the environment. Traditional ecological and cultural knowledge forms the basis of sustainable management by indigenous tribal people of the North Coast region. Due to nature, methods, and amount harvested it, the take of marine species by indigenous people is minimal. Each of the North Coast tribes is a distinct sovereign nation, and each has identified certain areas in the North Coast region where traditional customary uses and cultural activities are carried out. Furthermore, each federally recognized tribal nation retains a government-to-government relationship with the federal government. In implementing the MLPA, the initiative should likewise engage in government-to-government consultation to address tribal concerns. There are also federal trust responsibilities that are based upon a unique legal relationship between the United States and recognized tribes. In the spirit of these responsibilities, the state of California should ensure that the preferred alternatives for MPAs in the North Coast region contains provisions recognizing and protecting tribal customary and cultural uses of indigenous people in the area identified by such tribes. Sustainable harvesting and gathering is a key principle in cultural and ecological preservation, and it is fully consistent with the goals and the purpose of the Marine Life Protection Act. Moreover, as tribes in California have never ceded their aboriginal rights to continue to harvest and gather from the marine environment, the state should recognize those uses and ensure that those regulations adopted as part of the MLPA process do not infringe upon them in any manner unless expressly authorized by the affected tribes.
Okay. Thank you, Russ, for reading that, and thanks again for introducing it into our broader discussion. So, one of the recommendations on the table here is to consider this proposed language as essentially a starting point to develop this guidance. So it's not saying that this is necessarily it, but this is a good place to start. Is that correct, Roy?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, I think that was our intention, that this is a good place to start that conversation.
Great, and we will definitely send that out to inform your deliberations prior to doing any kind of vote. We will make sure everybody has that so you can read it again in detail. So are there other questions about any of these four components of this recommendation that folks have?
Would you, Eric, is it Eric?
Yes.
Eric, would you go over it one more time? I want to hear those four recommendations.
I'll read them again. The first is, it's basically that the RSG promotes the following to the Blue Ribbon Task Force. Number one, the regional stakeholder group recognizes that tribes are inadequately dealt with in the MLPA framework. And this is getting to the comment we've heard before about how it would be good to have something in the master plan that addresses tribes, because currently there is nothing. A second recommendation, the RSG requires policy guidance on how to address this issue, and without this guidance, the RSG is unable to properly discharge its function and runs the risk of developing proposals that are less than robust. So here it's saying that this guidance is needed for the RSG to do its work. It's, I think, impressing upon the Blue Ribbon Task Force how important this is. The third recommendation is the RSG suggests that customary subsistence and traditional cultural practices should be recognized as distinct within the MLPEA framework and possibly excluded, and that Russ's proposed language, which he just read, is a good basis for that guidance to develop from. So a good starting place. And this is a suggestion, I think, coming from the RSG here. And then the fourth one is the RSG suggests establishing a separate tribal advisory group to the BRTF, consisting of BRTF members, policy officials from the Department of Fish and Game, the National Natural Resources Agency, and tribes, and at a minimum, the NCRSG representatives, for the purposes of developing appropriate policy guidance to the NCRSG and to the California Fish and Game Commission. So this is actually suggesting a process outline for the BRTF where they would create an advisory group to help develop this broader policy.
Okay, and I appreciate that, Eric, and I don't want to take a lot of time. This is Russ Crafter again. But I think that, you know, in that recommendation, there is a trust responsibility on the federal government, and it should be the Bureau, BIA, should be sitting at the table fulfilling their trust obligation to tribes, and they ought to be part of that consultation group.
This is Rewati. Actually, that's a good point made by Russ, that there should also be appropriate federal agencies at that table.
Okay. Is that something you would want us to add to that recommendation?
Yeah.
And appropriate federal agencies?
Correct. That's fine with me. This is Russ.
Okay.
If I may make a comment, Eric, this is Megan again. I think it would be great to actually spell out the recommendation that the master plan needs to be amended. So actually explicitly calling that out, I think, would be a good thing to do.
So in the first recommendation, the regional stakeholder group recognizes that the tribes are inadequately dealt with in the MLPEA framework and the master plan?
This is Rewati. If I'm hearing what Megan suggested, I'd probably put that in four, where the group would develop policy guidance to the stakeholder group, Fish and Game Commission, and with a view towards amending the master plan.
Yeah, that makes good sense to me.
Hey.
Jackie, can you hear me? Hello?
Yes.
This is Jackie. I wanted to echo Russ and everyone's comments. I think in the first line, and maybe that's what Megan just said, is that it does need to be spelled out. I think what you said, Eric, was perfect, that the regional stakeholder group recognizes that tribes are inadequately dealt with in the MLPEA framework, specifically the master plan guidelines. I think that would finish that sentence. And I agree with Russ 100%. We do need our federal representatives at this table.
Okay, so if you can see now, we're going to make changes to the document that you guys have suggested here.
This is Adam Weichel. Can I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not entirely clear what the recommendation is of what the actual changes would be to the master plan. What changes are we considering recommending?
This is Megan. Maybe I can answer that. I don't think that here we're recommending explicit changes. I think we're just recommending that it needs to be changed, and that once all of those bodies listed there in number four are able to deliberate and work that out, then, you know, that's where that would happen. But just that the master plan needs to be amended to adequately address tribal uses.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Thanks for that clarification. Are there any other clarifying questions about the text here?
This is John Dixon. Number three, you know, I like the general tenor of this recommendation. Number three says, and possibly excluded, and then the part about Russ's proposed language. Russ's proposed language is a very specific proposal. And I think to keep this general and to keep it open in terms of direction, that it would be good to just remove that clause, or to put it in some way that Russ's proposed language is a good basis for beginning the discussion, as opposed to it suggesting that it's a good basis for the guidance.
Mm.
Because that is going to be something that is undoubtedly going to be discussed.
Are there other thoughts on that recommendation? So the idea that John is putting forward is to, I guess, be a little bit less prescriptive, saying that this is a starting point rather than necessarily a basis for the guidance.
Eric, this is Russ again.
Yeah.
No, I hate to disagree with John, but I'm going to do so respectfully. I disagree. I think that this is draft language. This is a starting point. It's got a long way to be fleshed out, and we are talking about a specific thing. We're talking about the subsistency, cultural, and customary uses of the tribes. Sorry.
Yeah, so...
Eric, can I make one more comment? This is Megan.
Go ahead. So I just want people to... I mean, what we don't want to get into here is... I just want to maybe remind folks what we're doing. We have some proposed text on the table that I think there's strong support for having a vote on, and then presenting the outcomes of the voting to the Blue Ribbon Task Force. And so this has been primarily produced by... the tribal members at their request, and we discussed this at the last meeting. And so, you know, everyone doesn't have to absolutely love the language, but we want to be true to the intent of those who are proposing it. But I like John's idea for suggesting new text that he thinks might be better in some ways, and I think we're witty. I mean, Russ is responding by saying that maybe there is actually specific reasons for including the text that is in the original draft. And so I don't want to get into too much of an exercise in trying to refine this in a group of 30, but you know, if people do have comments that they think will make it more clear and build more support for it, I do want to entertain those. So go ahead, Megan. And that was, or was it Jack?
No, it was Megan. Sorry, this is Megan. I would just recommend that... instead of possibly excluded, changing that to appropriately acknowledged. And I don't know if we need to specifically reference Russ's language or just make it clear that the tribes will be developing that language.
This is Rewati. I would support that.
That sounds good to me as well. This is Jackie.
Russ, what do you think of that?
You know, I don't like my name being attached to the language because it needs to be tribal language and it needs to come...
Yes.
Tribal coalition, and it needs to come through the process. But, you know, I would just make a suggestion, you know, reading some what I think is a pretty good statement. I think there needs to be a statement along those lines, and it should say along the lines, the initiative shall acknowledge that Indian tribes have aboriginal rights to the marine resources and the use and manage those coastal areas for traditional subsistence, cultural, religious, ceremonial, and other customary purposes. I think that has to be into this recommendation for me to be comfortable with it.
I think that's a good comment, Russ.
Okay, thanks.
I agree.
So just to think of how to modify this, Megan, what was the first that you replaced possibly excluded with?
I said appropriately acknowledged.
Yeah, are folks okay with that?
So that would read, if I'm understanding, that would read that the initiative shall appropriately acknowledge that Indian tribes have aboriginal rights to take marine resources, use and manage coastal areas for traditional, subsistence, cultural, religious, ceremonial, other customary purposes. Is that what I'm hearing?
I think that's different.
But it is a little bit different, but, okay, I'll put that out there as a proposal. This is Russ.
Russ.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You did a reframe, Russ, that we didn't completely capture, and I don't know if it's addressing Megan's idea.
Okay.
So, Russ, can you read yours again? Or I think you reframed the whole sentence.
Okay. The MLPA initiative shall appropriately acknowledge that Indian tribes have aboriginal rights to take marine resources and to use and manage cultural resources for traditional subsistence, cultural, religious, ceremonial, and other customary purposes.
Is that okay? I'm a little confused. Are you working on the text of number three of the proposed recommendation, or are you focused on the text in the?
Yeah, it is. It is, Eric.
Okay. So that what you just read there would replace the first phrase, or would it replace all of the text in number three?
It would replace the first phrase.
Okay. Ben, can we create a new number four and just let's write it down and. Apologies that this is a little bit clunky. It's hard to do. It's always hard to do wordsmithing or collective text creation, even in person and on a webinar, harder. But okay, Russ, can you please read that again?
The MLPA initiative shall appropriately acknowledge that Indian tribes.
Okay. Wait for Ben though. You did that. So the MLPA initiative shall appropriately acknowledge
that Indian tribes have aboriginal rights to take marine resources.
Okay, hold up. Ben is coming in.
Okay.
I shall appropriately acknowledge that. Russ, can you just read it again, but more slowly, please?
Okay. The MLPA initiative
shall
appropriately acknowledge that.
We didn't hear that.
That Indian tribes have aboriginal rights to take marine resources and to use and manage coastal areas.
Okay, hold on a sec. To take marine resources and to
use manage coastal areas for traditional subsistence, cultural, religious, ceremonial, other.
Okay. We're back to manage coastal areas for traditional.
Subsistence. Cultural.
A cultural.
Religious. Ceremonial. And other customary purposes. That's it, Eric.
Okay. So you're suggesting to replace the first phrase in number three with this other phrase here. So is this helping to better refine what the RSG wants to say in the spirit, and especially in the spirit of what was originally there, the original number three?
I think you have to change the end, the second phrase, and saying that the tribal coalition will present draft language.
So there'd be a period after purposes, and then a new sentence that says the tribal coalition will present draft language
to the regional stakeholder group and the Blue Ribbon Task Force and the science advisory team. So then it would replace the entire phrase.
Okay. To the NCRSG, the BRTF, and the SAT. Okay, so I think we're making number three a little bit more specific. And it's I think because the previous text of referring to Russ's proposed language is not evident unless you actually have the document in front of you, and this is I think capturing this more clearly. Are RSG members comfortable with swapping in number four and replacing number three? Otherwise stated, is anyone not comfortable with making that switch?
Well, okay. I don't know. This is John Dixon. I don't know if it's really a comfort level. It changes fundamentally what's being recommended. As it now makes a specific recommendation as opposed to the previous language that said that these things will be recognized as distinct and possibly excluded. So it's simply a change in meaning.
Yes. I guess we want to remember that this is the opportunity for the RSG to weigh in. Text becomes more specific in a way that certain RSG members find to be more difficult to support, then that will be reflected in the voting outcomes. And so that's something that I think that the RSG should, on this call, should be aware of as well.
This is Skip. It appears that the second phrase of the original three is just being expanded upon and becoming more accurate in our number four. So I feel comfortable that instead of and that Russ's proposed language is a good basis. This is more specific about what Russ's proposed language is. So I am comfortable with that.
Yeah, this is Pete Nichols. I'm comfortable with it too. But just for other people's acknowledgement, it seems as though opposed to possibly excluded, this new language says shall be excluded. In my mind, my read, which I'm fine with, but I'm just not sure what hoops we're going to need to jump through to make that real. And I guess that's the next step. But just.
So I've heard the recommendation to. And I think there's relatively broad support to replace number three with number four, and that then will become part of the actual text that you will be sent following this call for your own consideration and then a vote. Okay, does that make sense, everybody? And we've also made other changes to it. If you look at number one, we now included the phrase specifically the master plan. So we have number four, which will replace number three, and then in number five, which folks may not be able to see. Can people see number five on your screens? We added the appropriate federal agencies, and at the very end, and we added with a view toward amending the master plan. Okay, so I'm doing a quick time check now. It's about 5:30. We wanted to provide an opportunity for the public to weigh in. We have now some, I think, some stable text that we would be sending out following this call to all of the RSG members, and you would have the opportunity to vote that you support this text or you do not as part of a proposal, as part of a recommendation from the RSG through the Blue Ribbon Task Force with an eye toward getting everybody's votes in by late morning on Monday, so the voting outcomes can be reported to the BRTF on Monday afternoon.
I'm sorry to back up, but just for clarity, we're deleting three, is that correct?
Correct, deleting number three, and why don't we pull it out right now?
Yeah. I have a question, Eric, this is Jackie Osler. Can you hear me?
Yes, please.
The vote that we will be conducting, is this a straw poll?
This will be a formal vote by the regional stakeholder group members, and this will be a confidential vote where people will sending an email to Ben saying that they support or not the text for making this recommendation from the RSG to the Blue Ribbon Task Force. And what we will report to the Blue Ribbon Task Force is just the text itself and then the number of yes votes and the number of no votes.
Okay. So my question is, if the no's outweighed the yeses, where would that leave the tribal effort, the tribal coalition effort?
But I think the idea is to get, I mean, obviously I think that the RSG wants to have a strong support for this. On this call, we have not heard a lot of pushback on this recommendation yet. I think the answer to your question, Jackie, is that the question that the BRTF would then ask, why was the voting outcome as it was? Because there may be many reasons why someone would vote for or not or against a particular recommendation. But I think that it's in the interest of the RSG to craft text that it can be as broadly supported as possible.
Right. So I would ask that if there are any RSG members who are not in support of it, that they be willing to let us know that today so that we would have time to work with those issues.
So, Jackie, this is John Dixon. I would have voted in favor earlier probably, but with these changes, I would intend to abstain from the vote based on the notion that without understanding the type, intensity, and location of traditional uses, I don't have the information necessary for me to make a decision.
Okay, and that's what I was afraid of, John. And I'd like you, if you could be specific, a little bit more specific about your objection to this language compared to the other language.
Well, it's not necessarily an objection. It changes the content, and basically what this does is it injects what seems to me pretty much a sovereignty issue, that there will be no constraints on traditional uses. But I don't know what the traditional uses are. And I'm approaching it from an ecological content of the effects of extractive use on these resources that we're talking about. Now, personally, I suspect that they are minimal and that they'll have little effect and that it fundamentally really isn't a huge issue. But I don't know that. And so it's mostly a matter of trying to maintain a single standard of truth and understanding what it is that I'm voting for.
This is Dave Wright. Can I weigh in?
Hi, Dave.
Yeah, I'm glad John said that because I was having a little bit of discomfort with this too, for exactly the same reasons. I'm not a person that's really that familiar with tribal customs, and I guess for me what I was becoming a little bit uncomfortable with was a definition of what subsistence meant. And like John said, I suspect that it doesn't involve a lot of effects or impacts on the resource, but on the other hand, I just really didn't know what that meant.
So are you more comfortable with the previous language also?
I was more comfortable with saying that it should be further explored, and I was hoping that the definition of what subsistence meant would be more defined. I mean, and I hate to be raise something unpopular, and I feel a little bit uncomfortable doing this, but subsistence could be anything.
This is Adam Weichel.
Can we answer those questions? Can we help with that information so that we do have a solid voice in moving forward?
That would make me, I'm sorry, Adam, I didn't mean to cut you off, but that would make me more comfortable if I just had more of a clear, definition of what these terms meant in terms of actual take.
Okay, so we have some requests for clarity that I don't know if they can be provided on this call, but I don't know if Jackie, you have a response to that, and then we'll take Adam's comment.
Well, I don't know that I'm interested to do that, but I'll definitely try, and I would really appreciate the support of of Russ and Megan and Witty, customary would refer to each tribe's traditions and customs, and some are similar, but some are different. So it would be inherent to each tribe how they use different materials in the dances or in the preparation of the food, or it would be specific to that tradition for that tribe. The way I understand subsistence is there's gathering and harvesting time for different resources, and depending on each tribe and where they're located, you know, that's going to vary. But they're pretty. I would say that they are distinct and common to the items that are available in those areas. And it would be however much that family would use of the various marine resources. It wouldn't be to harvest them and sell them commercially. Subsistence would mean for their personal use. Again, I think customary traditional cultural practices are somewhat interchangeable, and recognizing them as distinct within the MLPA framework is a lot more generic. And I didn't like the word possibly excluded, you know. Mm-hmm. I was having a hard time with that one. So, you know, I think Russ is looking at it more from, you know, we are looking for the MLPA initiative staff to acknowledge that Indian tribes have Aboriginal rights. That is a legal, you know, a legal right for tribes. But I understand that the stakeholders don't know that. You know, I think that possibly should be developed more in the language. But, you know, we are so used to getting things told one thing and then having something come back, like the Department of Fish and Game memo saying, no, we won't do that. And that's why we're trying to insert and have someone acknowledge that, yes, Indian tribes do have Aboriginal rights, you know. So I understand the stakeholders that are non-tribal and not familiar with the tribal language, but I just need you guys to understand why we're trying to, you know, make sure that the same thing doesn't happen again when we go back to the Blue Ribbon Task Force.
And I think that where the new text is still suggestive is with the statement, shall appropriately acknowledge. It doesn't define what that will be.
Did that help at all in explaining the definition of those?
Adam, did you want to go on, or can I get back on here?
David, why don't you finish up here and then we'll go
okay.
Ahead.
I just would feel more comfortable if I was assured that subsistence was defined as non-commercial. Hmm. And I'll leave it at that.
Megan or Russ or Ruwiti, you guys want to weigh in?
This is Ruwiti. I would generally support a definition of subsistence as non-commercial, but I don't want to say it's a sticky legal area, but I think part of Russ's language from a tribe's perspective is brilliant, because these are very, very specific pieces of language that we require to make our argument at a policy level much stronger. And one thing I would say is even if we say, okay, subsistence is commercial, I think all we're asking for is acknowledgement that there are certain rights that exist. Those rights predate the establishment of the United States and certainly the state of California. And that somehow we need to harmonize those rights in the MLPA framework. How those rights are harmonized and how we quantify them and how we address them moving forward has yet to be determined. And so, you know, part of the process we're going through is the tribes and various stakeholders working together to work out how those rights are harmonized moving forward. But, you know, I think all we're asking for is an acknowledgement that those rights, concept of those rights, be acknowledged and dealt with appropriately.
You know, this is John again, and as I listen to you and then reread number four, I was reading something into it that isn't there, actually, because it does clearly say shall acknowledge the rights, which include the use and manage of coastal areas, but it does not commit to a particular use. And so upon reflection, I would not have a problem supporting this, which is basically kind of a statement of a particular way of looking at it, as opposed to a statement of a particular extractive use.
Okay, thanks, John. Someone else is typing right now, and if you could please put your phone on mute. Adam, thank you for being patient.
I think it's been covered. Well, I guess maybe really quickly, what gives me a comfort level here, and you know, I support this, and I might support it anyway. Is kind of this historical aspect to it, the words traditional, customary, and you know, the thing that resonated with me really early is when the SAT was discussing this idea that these uses that have occurred for eons are part of the ecosystem, and could be considered as such. So you know, I think looking at it in that light, I would think it would make people feel more comfortable, but it seems like that's being recognized now. So that's my comment.
This is Skip. Maybe I'm jumping into bureaucratic wordsmithing, but would it be worthwhile adding after customary purposes as described in the forthcoming tribal profiles?
I think that would be more than acceptable.
I would. This is Russ. I would just make one suggestion. If we're going to talk about, you know, we're opening up the for tribal inclusive in the regional profile, not at the same time. I'd like to see the word master plan there, because I believe it needs to be opened up to recognize tribal rights.
Okay, so we get two ideas here. So the first one was to recommendation from Skip, and I heard at least one person saying that this should be okay. So in number four, after other customary purposes, would say as identified in the regional profile tribal descriptions or descriptions of tribal and tribal communities.
You know, the problem there is that, this is John, that you would be asking us to vote on something that we haven't seen. So mm-hmm. I'd suggest that not be put in.
Yes, and this is Megan. I would actually suggest that it doesn't either, in the sense that, you know, not all tribes may provide information to the profile. So just because they didn't provide information, you know, doesn't mean that those uses then don't exist. And as just another side comment, for consistency purposes, any time that tribes are used, we should use tribes and tribal communities as we have agreed. So I would like to see that minor change made, please.
Okay, so I'm hearing Skip that narrowly defining the customary purposes as only the regional profile may end up excluding something. So we're not going to include that. Russ, you had another recommendation to refer to the master plan somewhere in here?
Eric, if we're going to pull back on the regional profile, leave it away. I'll drop that. But I do agree with what Megan just said, tribes and tribal communities.
Yeah, okay, so that belongs at the top?
Right.
So then we'll do that. I want to do a time check. It's a 4:45. We're about 20 minutes past where we wanted to be in terms of starting our public comment. Jackie has asked the question of, are there RSG members out there who have significant heartburn with parts of this? And I want to finish that discussion, and then I want to move on to public comment. And I'm going to acknowledge that we're going to probably go a little late here and apologize in advance, but I think that this is an important topic, and if folks can bear with us and maybe go 15 minutes long, I think it'll be time well spent. So getting back to Jackie's comment about, are there RSG members who have heartburn with particular elements here? Anyone else who'd like to weigh in on that?
This is Bill.
I have a question.
Am I on?
Bill, go ahead.
Bill, and then who's next?
Hi. I don't have particular overwhelming heartburn, but I'm just wondering why the MLPA initiative is called out in number four and why it shouldn't say something like all members of the MLPA process shall appropriately acknowledge. Is there a specific reason why the initiative is called out in that particular item?
Russ, was there a particular reason? I think the initiative encompasses all the different bodies, the Blue Ribbon Task Force, the SAT, the Regional Stakeholder Group.
Is that what that intent is that it covers all members?
Yes, it does, Eric.
Okay. Well, just as long as that's clear.
Okay, good. And someone else had wanted to ask a question.
I had a question. This is Jennifer Savage. I agree with what's here on the table. I really want these efforts to succeed, and I'm just a little concerned about being sure that we're asking for something that the initiative staff can actually do. I mean, by asking the initiative to acknowledge these rights when we're not sure what rights the state acknowledges, I just want to make sure that this can go somewhere, you know, that it doesn't sort of keep circling around the way it does. I don't disagree with it. I just want to make sure we're putting forward something, again, that can be effective. And along those same lines, although I do agree with the idea of altering the master plan, and I think that's an appropriate recommendation, I've just had this question about if we ask for that specifically, does that narrow down our options so it becomes only about amending the master plan and preempts any other possible solutions, and is that a concern?
Yeah, I don't think in number one it was intended to be exclusive to the master plan. Maybe it could be, if it said including the master plan, would that be better?
I'm asking. I mean, I just want to make sure that we're keeping options open, especially if it turns out that when we're designing MPAs that, you know, that there is minimal impact, you know, because we haven't really gone down that road yet, but in case there are other solutions, I just want to make sure that we're not cutting back on any of our options. Not that we shouldn't ask for this, but that I just, again, want to make sure that we don't limit ourselves.
Can I answer that, please?
Yeah.
Eric, can I jump in? This is Jackie. You know, I don't think we're limiting ourselves. I think getting it in the master plan and giving guidance within the MLPA framework, if it is in the master plan, then it would flow out to all of the other areas if it was done correctly. If it is not done in the master plan, in my mind, then it doesn't have the policy or the impact. If it is, you know, if it's put in a few vague areas that, you know, there shall be tribal input or recognition or acknowledgement, I don't think that's as strong. I think putting it in the master plan will make it stronger, and it will give the guidance to each area.
So Jackie's making the case to reference the master plan, but I heard from Jennifer that you think that we may be that the problem here might be that you're only specifying the master plan and not other things. And again, I would say if you change specifically to including the master plan, does that address your question? I don't think it would change the intent that Jackie just spoke.
That would put my mind a bit more at ease, but again, I just want to make sure that, if I'm the only person worried about this, then perhaps it's not necessary, but I just want to make sure we have as many options as possible. But I totally hear what, you know, is being said about the master plan, and I do agree with it. If it was said including the master plan, then that would certainly alleviate my concerns, but mm-hmm. if it's okay with
Sure. What do other RC members, Jackie and others, feel about that? Is it diluting the emphasis on the master plan too much for you?
I
This is Megan. No, I think that's a great suggestion. No, I don't have any issues with that.
I don't either. I'm fine with that.
I'm fine with it.
No, do I.
Thanks. So I want to wrap up now, unless someone else, please interrupt me if you feel like you haven't been heard.
Just a wordsmith thing, and number four, to use comma manage should be to use and manage.
Okay, thanks. So I just want to recall what the RSG is doing here, and we have received a summary of anticipated legal guidance from the Department of Fish and Game and Fish and Game Commission staff, with the expectation that more formal legal guidance will be forthcoming. Again, the RSG has the opportunity to try to influence BRTF discussions and creation of policy guidance on this topic. Again, it's not the the BRTF can only make recommendations as well to the state, and at the end of the day, it will have to be the state that through this more higher level discussion with tribes and with federal agencies who will be ultimately determining what gets done. And so I just want to remind everybody that, you know, that you have the opportunity to influence the process, but indeed, you know, the RSG is not the decision maker here. And at the end of the day, I think that the state, and I think we saw this a little bit in the memo, you know, is limited by what the existing laws state. And in order to achieve some of what I think the RSG members are pushing for here with this recommendations, it will require more, you know, longer term and perhaps legislative changes in order to achieve that. And I think that for the RSG to put forth a recommendation in this way, I think can be helpful in building towards that outcome. But I just want to make sure everybody understands that there, you know, there's a higher level that Rawidi described at the beginning, where ultimately some of these, you know, bigger picture issues, which you know, far supersede the MLPA itself, will need to play out. So is that clear for everybody?
Very clear.
Okay, good. So can I assume at this point that we'll get rid of number three again, and that the RSG is comfortable with this text, and this is the text that we will be then sending to everybody tomorrow, and you will have tomorrow afternoon and the weekend and Monday morning to ponder this, to check back with your broader constituents, and then send a voting response to Ben and I. Okay? Good. With that, I would like now to ask Maisha, our conference operator, to open it up to public comment. And Maisha, if you could let us know how many people have, members of the public have put their names in the queue who want to speak to either the memo or to this recommendation.
Yes. We will now begin a public comment session. If you have a public comment, please press star, then one on your touchtone phone immediately. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the pound sign or hash key. If you are using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up your handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a public comment, please press star, then one on your touchtone phone immediately.
Thank you, members of the public, for indicating that. And I think Maisha will soon be letting us know how many people are in the queue.
We have two in the queue right now.
This is Adam. I'm sitting here. Steve Coleman happens to be here, and he had trouble getting on. So he has a public comment, if you could just make it through this
line. That's fine. We can add him. So he'll be a third.
Thank you.
Okay. Why don't we start then? We'll take two through the public and then one through Adam. And we'll give everybody 2 minutes, and Ben and I will be doing time again, and you'll get we'll give you a 30-second when you have 30-second warning when you have 30 seconds left, and then we have a little bell here that will ring at the end, and hopefully people will find that helpful.
And Eric?
Yeah.
Before you start, if we could make one request, just in case we do have members of the public who are having trouble getting through for any reason, would it be possible to ask Maisha to open up all of the lines and just check to be sure that we have everyone that wants to speak to this topic?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Melissa, I think we had talked about this before, and Maisha said that if she did that, she would lose the queue. But I guess if we know who, since it's relatively short, perhaps we can do that. So Maisha, is it possible to just open it up to all the public now, and anybody who's not in the queue who wanted to be in there could give us their names?
All lines are now open. If you have a public comment, please give your name.
Thank you for that. I just wanted to be sure we didn't have any issues.
Okay, appreciate that. So Maisha, let's start out with the first person in the public comment queue.
Our first comment comes from Roseanne Lee. Roseanne, your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity to comment. This is Roseanne Lee calling from Alexander Berkey Williams and Weathers on behalf of the Intertribal Sinkeon Wilderness Council. I have two comments. The first comment is, it is our recommendation that the stakeholder group recommend to the Blue Ribbon Task Force that it recommends to the department that consultation with Indian tribes and their council occur prior to the issuance of any final policy or legal guidance. Our second comment is that the process of evaluating external arrays be held in abeyance until that policy guidance is developed and finalized. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Our next comment comes from Kevin McGrath. Please go ahead with your comment.
Hi, folks. The language and everything sounds really good, what was just drawn up. And I like the part about, no commercial gathering. Otherwise, I mean, it's like sounds perfect to me. And that's my comment, and I thank you.
Thanks. And Kevin?
Yeah.
As a formal member of the regional stakeholder group, you are able to provide your comments during our discussions and don't need anything. And I think we actually created a ground rule saying that you're not supposed to provide public comments at your own meetings.
I couldn't get through. I just got out of 4 days in the hospital. I had double pneumonia. I couldn't get through through the regular phone system. I don't know what I was doing wrong. Of course, I'm not all with it as usual, but.
Well that's an excellent excuse, and we're glad we have your voice now, and thank you for contributing.
And glad to hear that you're out of the hospital and recovering.
Yeah, so in these future webinars and stuff, do I hit star one and that puts me in the running, or how does that work?
I think you may have dialed into the phone number that was meant for the members of the public, and there was a separate phone number that was meant for the RSG members. So we'll make sure we get you that one in the future.
Okay, I'm trying to get up to speed here.
Okay, great.
Okay, thanks.
Nice to hear from you, Kevin.
Yeah.
Adam, you have a colleague who wanted to provide comment.
Hello, this is Stephen Coleman, Environmental Director for the Wiat Tribe. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you for giving me a chance to comment here, and I'll try and keep it brief. I approve of the language that I've seen, and I actually am impressed with the ability that the RSG had to edit the language over a conference call, as difficult as it seemed. And I just want to make the point that the MLPA initiative, for whatever reason, decided not to appoint RSG members from all of the concerned tribes, and specifically the Wiat tribe, which I'm representing. And so in doing that, they said that the tribal members that were appointed would be able to represent or would have to represent the views of all the tribes in the area. And since they're proposing changes to the master plan, it's actually going to be all the tribes in California. And so I just want to make sure that time is allowed for the tribal representatives who did get appointed to the RSG to disseminate this information to the tribes who are not appointed and to be able to get their comments and input on all of these important matters.
Thank you very much, and indeed that is the intent of the regional stakeholder group members.
I know it's the intent, but the time frame doesn't seem to allow that.
You're saying between now and Monday?
Well, between now and Monday, and just between the last regional stakeholders group and this teleconference, there's very little opportunity to get this information out to everybody who needs to see it. And since the stakeholder group is supposed to be representing the stakeholders of the region, there seems like there has to be some opportunity for them to represent and present this information to their constituents and the constituents who weren't given a seat at the table.
Okay, that's very clear. Thank you for that comment.
May I ask a question, Eric?
Yes.
This is Jackie Hostler, and this is for Stephen. Stephen, if you would please let me know who the official contact is for the Wiat tribe. I will, if that's you, great, or someone else, let me know, and I will make sure that this information is getting directly to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie. Yeah, and it can be me, and there's a few others, but we can talk offline.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, everybody. Okay, so I believe that concludes the public comment period, and thank you to the members of the public, including Kevin, who provided comment here. We're going to move on now to a recap of the next step so everybody understands how we're moving forward from where we are this afternoon to the BRTF meeting. So looking again at the PowerPoint, we will be sending an email to the RSG members tomorrow morning, and it will contain the final text that we just saw on the recommendation, and will also be repeating some of the common themes that we heard in the discussion earlier. And I think that there may be some, obviously there are some RSG members who are not here on this call, and we think they may benefit from some of these key themes. And so I'm going to repeat what I heard just to give you guys an inkling of what you'll be seeing. And if I'm mischaracterizing anything severely, let me know right now. So some of the common themes I've heard is that for many of the RSG members, there was some disappointment, but not a great surprise with the content of the staff memo. There was an interest in making sure that information coming from the tribes that is being incorporated into the regional profile, that information gets incorporated into these discussions of guidance. Several comments about how that the tribes will need more time in order to help to come up with a single position or statement on these issues, and that this additional time is required because of the approval, the coordination amongst tribes, and then approval by different tribal councils and governing bodies. Another key theme we heard was that there's a desire for tribal and RSG perspectives to be heard in the BRTF discussions. Just a recognition that dialogue between the BRTF and RSG members and tribal members is important and helpful. And then finally, that actually, I think the last one I heard, I think, is captured in the recommendations, and this was that the tribes are not dealt with in the MLPA framework. So those are some of the key themes that I heard earlier in the discussion. And we will write this up, but did I mischaracterize anything or miss leave anything out that folks had talked about earlier?
This is Adam. I apologize because I'm kind of going off agenda here, but I'll kind of put this one to one of the tribal representatives, but I think the first public speaker made a really pointed recommendation about a couple items that might be part of our recommendation, and I'm just a little uneasy that I kind of feel like maybe we should be talking about that. If not now, then at some point looking at those points and seeing if they should be part of the recommendation, because it sounded like that was coming from a tribal perspective that's not on the RSG, and they're trying to get their voice heard there. It seems we should make sure it's heard.
Okay, so we do the opportunity to, I guess the whole purpose of having the public speak is to make sure that you guys are informed by the broader public and can incorporate their thinking. So, Adam, your point is very well taken. And I want to think that this is a do you have a specific recommendation of how to incorporate that into the thinking here? And I just want to be cognizant of how just given the timing involved with what we're trying to do with our recommendation and the Blue Ribbon Task Force meeting coming up on Monday, are there things that we can do now and other things that the group can do later? Or is there a concise way of incorporating what was heard into the discussion? Because if there is any new text, we would want to open that up for broader discussion by the RSG as well. And so I just want to acknowledge that this is not your final answer, that this is an ongoing discussion will be taking place.
This is John Dixon. My apologies to the group, but I have to sign off.
Thanks, John. So Adam, is there a specific recommendation of incorporating?
This subject matter is a little bit outside my realm, not being a tribal member or representing tribe or anything, but I guess it's more of, I have a question to the RSG, other RSG members. Do those points resonate, and are they ones that we think should be considered for inclusion in the recommendation to the Blue Ribbon Task Force? Anyone?
This is Skip. Was there a recording made of that comment and of the public comments? If so, it'd be great if we could hear it again.
Maisha, is it possible to ask that member to open up the line to that member of the public again to see if she could repeat her text? I think her name was Roseanne Lee. Rovianne Lee.
Rovianne Lee, okay. All lines are now open.
Ian, are you there?
Looks like she has dropped off.
This is Dave Wright. Can I make a comment?
Hi, this is Rovianne Lee. I'm not sure if you all can hear me.
We can hear you now, Rovianne.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was on mute.
That's great. There's been a request that you repeat again the two recommendations.
Certainly. Just to remind everyone, I am speaking on behalf of the Intertribal Tsingteon Wilderness Council. And the first comment was a request that this group recommend to the Blue Ribbon Task Force that it recommends to the department that it consult with Indian tribes and their council in drafting any final policy or legal guidance. And secondly, requesting that the process of evaluating external arrays be held in abeyance until that policy is developed.
I have a clarification question. On the second point, the process for evaluating the arrays in advance, is that what you said?
Be held in abeyance. So not move forward until there is an opportunity to develop that policy and legal guidance in consultation with tribes.
Before mapping arrays are developed?
Before they're evaluated.
Before they're evaluated, okay.
That also, Ravian, does that also apply to the external arrays that have been developed already?
Correct.
Okay, thank you, Ravian, for repeating that again.
Thank you.
I would support those two requests. This is Jackie.
Other thoughts?
This is Dave Wright. I'm just a little bit, I guess, like Adam kind of brought up a little bit, this is beyond my pay grade to decide these kind of issues. And so when we talk about holding off evaluating the already drafted external arrays. I mean, I'm just concerned about timelines here and kind of getting the job done. And I'm not exactly saying that that's a bad idea, but once again, it just seems like this issue is so much bigger than, at least for someone like me, on the RSG. Some dog likes my comment.
Yeah, so, I think, Melissa, you have a comment on here?
No, actually, that's not me.
I want to know,
this is Evan Fox. Maybe I can just help clarify a little bit of how the external arrays are being treated with regard to the tribal uses that were proposed to be allowed. And I can provide that clarification, Eric, if you think that's useful.
That'd be great, Evan. Thanks. And so, this is important because I think the evaluation process is already underway.
That's correct. So we received 8 external arrays on February 1st, and we've been working to evaluate those up until this date. And they're going to be the initial evaluation is going to be presented to the science advisory team in 2 weeks at their next meeting, March 16th and 17th. And just so everybody knows, all of the arrays more or less proposed to allow tribal uses in most of their MPAs. There were a couple of proposals or external arrays that didn't do that, but for the most part, it came through loud and clear that the stakeholders wanted to include those as being allowed. So what staff did was those proposed tribal uses were pulled out and flagged separately for the Blue Ribbon Task Force as well as the Science Advisor Team from other allowed uses. So these external arrays are more or less being evaluated based on their proposed fishing allowed uses, and the tribal uses are something that are being considered separately by the SAT as well as the Blue Ribbon Task Force. So just to put that out there, I think it's important to clarify how those are moving forward.
So with regard to Ravian's second recommendation that the evaluation process be held in abeyance until the policy is developed, we're hearing clarification from staff that the evaluation process is already underway and it's being done with the assumptions that Evan has just described.
And this is Ken Wiseman. To Ravian's request, I would say that we have been meeting with tribes and doing outreach for the California tribes and tribal communities since July of last year. We continue to do that to Deputy Director Master at Yoda. We're there this week doing that outreach. We continue to reach out to their lawyers like Robian. But our process is moving forward with putting something to the commission in October. And we need to, as we talked about on this call, think of the short term, how we inform that process in the long term, how we make it into things like the master plan. But I think, as the executive director speaking for the task force, we will have something to put forward in October, and we want to make sure it's as good as we could possibly get. And I think this call was very informative to help that process. But we have the funding and the support through October to try to move the process forward and include all the communities. And that's our intention.
This is Rewati. I would probably prefer to move forward with the recommendation that we have right now. And in saying that, I think Curtis Berkey will be at our tribal coalition meeting next week. So I would like us to maybe discuss that further within the context of the coalition, as perhaps something to advocate as separate from this process, but I would still prefer to stick with what it is that we're recommending right now.
This is Jennifer. I would support that as well. I feel like we've worked a great deal even before the official RSG to get these external arrays put together and have been waiting for the evaluation. And I think it's certainly, you know, things are on the table. Everything's on the table at this point, but we've gotten so close to being able to move forward, and I would really like to see that happen.
Now, this is Russ. I support just moving forward with currently what's on the table.
because I see this flexibility, I see this attempt to understand by the other members that are there, and I think that we need to respect that. So that's why I would suggest we move forward.
Yeah, this is Larry Knowles. I concur with the last three speakers.
Okay, good. This is Eric. So I'm hearing broad support to acknowledge the comments made by the public, but to not change your draft recommendation right now.
I agree with that. This is Jackie. I can agree with that, too.
Yeah, and Eric, if I could just add something. This is Megan. I don't want to lose Rovian's first point, though, that any policy recommendation or, you know, amendment to the master plan or what have you will have to be done with, in consultation with tribes throughout the state. But I don't think at this point, we need to go there with this particular language right now. But we do need to definitely keep that in, in sight.
Okay, great.
And this is Adam. I just want to thank you guys for staying a little later to talk through that. I thought it was important to address it, and I do support the current motion.
Okay. Thanks for bringing that up. So I'm going to go back, and again, earlier I had read some of the main common themes that we had heard from the previous discussion about the memo, and do folks want me to repeat that again, or were people generally comfortable with that general characterization of the discussion?
Well, I don't think we need to repeat it again, but, you know, when you ask for a vote, if you'll send us what it is.
That's exactly it. So we'll send a recap of the, it's a brief summary of some of the key things mentioned during the call, so people who missed it will have a feel for some of the comments made.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Yeah, so this is not what you'd be voting on. It's just to help inform your thinking about the vote.
Right.
So I'm going to go over some of the details now on the vote. So again, we will send you both the summary of this discussion and the text for the recommendation tomorrow. We will request that you send an email back to us saying, yes or no. And the question is, can you support the proposed recommendation or not? And by support, we mean, can you live with? And this is the text that we had used in the ground rules. There are some people in the RSG who are not on email, and so we will contact them and get their votes over the phone. As repeated before, voting is confidential. I think that is quite in line with the protection that we established in the ground rules around straw polling and voting. And so we're asking everybody to to try to get us your votes by 11 o'clock on Monday morning. And then next steps is that we will tally the votes at that point, and basically transmit an email to the full RSG with the voting results. So we'll have just, here was the recommendation, here's the number of yeses and the number of noes, and we'll send that to the full RSG and the staff who will be supporting the Blue Ribbon Task Force meeting will then be able to report on that. Again, the voting is confidential. We will not be reporting yeses or noes as associated with individual voter names. It'll just be the total number. And if for some reason you are, as an RSG member, you want to vote and you're not able to get your vote in by 11 o'clock on Monday morning, please send it to us anyway, and we will have a final tally of the votes. If we do have some stragglers, we'll make sure we have a final tally that gets basically incorporated into the record of your work.
Okay.
And if you we would choose to see a yes or a no, and if for some reason you are opting to abstain, please let us know that you're abstaining rather than not voting at all. This way we can keep tabs of how many votes we have. So that's the process for moving forward. Any final questions on that? Okay, good. Well, listen, I want to maybe commend something that someone said earlier. It's really difficult to do this kind of work on a teleconference, and I want to thank everybody for their thoughtful comments. Again, thank the tribal community members for putting forth a strong recommendation that elicited, I think, a really good discussion. Again, you'll be, the key next step is to make sure everybody gets their votes in by 11 o'clock on Monday morning. And with that, just say thank you again, and we'll be in touch soon.
Thank you.
Okay, the meeting's adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. Thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect.